This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas, powered by U Mobile.
I'm Wong Xiaoning and this is The Breakfast Grill. Malaysia has ambitious targets to achieve net zero carbon greenhouse gas emissions as early as 2050 whilst keeping to the climate change commitments under the Paris Agreement. As part of that, the national aspiration is to have 31% renewable energy capacity by 2025 and 40% by 2035. We speak to one company who has a role to play in this, Sam Aden Group, a ACE-listed pure renewable energy contractor and owner, to ask about their growth plans in this very competitive market. Chow Pui Hee, its Group Managing Director, joins us again. Thank you for coming on The Breakfast Grill.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning.
Now, let's start with some of the recent developments. There is this JV agreement with Aneka Jaringan Holding to tap into Indonesia's energy market. But I'm curious why Aneka, because it's a loss-making listed construction company. Why partner with them for Indonesia and perhaps not a local Indonesian company like Wijaya Karya or Persero?
Aneka, they have a really established company in Indonesia. Although they are loss-making in Malaysia as a whole, majority projects, especially in Malaysia, is not really making money, but their Indonesia arm is quite strong. That's why that we wanted to enter a market. We cannot take too long time to look for partners. Then for sure that we immediately enter the market together with a Malaysian JV. Because a lot of people create Indonesia, whether some of the project is true or not true, whatever, better work with those people that really experienced there at so many years and established company there.
Are you comfortable with Indonesia, though? I mean, yes, it is very far behind when it comes to renewable energy, with coal still dominating the power mix. But at the same time, unlike in Malaysia, Perusahaan Listrik Negara, which is the equivalent of Tenaga, doesn't have favourable price guarantees for both large-scale and small-scale RE producers, right?
Yes. So that's why for us that we didn't expect immediate we can secure those large-scale solar project or servers. That's why now we enter it, actually we are targeting a smaller rooftop projects first, CNI first. Understand the situations, and while the government policy, they still need time to so-called debate and revise accordingly. So probably 1 or 2 years later that they are give favorables of large-scale solar, because who's know? Because sometimes the policy change can be overnight. So that's why we need to get ourselves ready. We not say that when the policy are there, only we enter. We enter, the time will be too late.
Okay, and another country that Sam Aden has its sights on is, of course, Vietnam. And I agree with you, Vietnam looks very interesting. And it's the opposite end of Indonesia. It's a prime example of how government support can boost renewable energy development in the region. I think it implemented a system of subsidies starting with a feed-in tariff as early as 2016. But do you think that you're late in the game? Because many large Thai companies like Gulf Energy, Super Energy are already there.
Yeah, actually, our plan to enter Vietnam was way back in 2019. So right before our IPO, in fact, we have secured some small project over there. But when we wanted to enter the country to do the projects actually in early 2020, so unfortunately, it's a COVID lockdown that restricts traveling. And in that 2 years, Vietnam's installations on the RE increased tremendously. For Vietnam now, they actually already achieved the installation targets that they want, and their grid also cannot sustain the additional load. So they need time to upgrade the grid. So that's why Vietnam now that we actually is not say withdrawing from that market. Actually, we are looking at acquire some of the completed projects, because our direction also wanted to become the project owners, PPA owners, looking at the favorable rates of a PPA tariff rate is so good.
What about Cambodia? Is that a market you're excited about?
Yes, for Cambodia, actually, recently we are in the midst of actually setting a new company in Cambodia. We have some of our Malaysia customer, they also got factories in Cambodia. So that's why we are tapping the same customer that we did those projects in Malaysia. So they also, there is a needs in doing a solar project. We go in the rooftop market. We go in a small capacity first. When we get ready, then we go on the bigger scale. In Cambodia, among the Southeast Asia regions, actually, they still have a large-scale solar, but it's not so much.
Okay, so but looking from an earnings perspective, if I'm not wrong, earnings is almost 100% Malaysia, right, at this moment?
Sam Aden's earnings now is 100% Malaysia.
So this shift towards regional markets, is it indicative that perhaps our domestic market here is saturated and very competitive?
talking about domestic markets, actually now that there's a rooftop markets under the net energy metering scheme, self-consumption scheme, and also there is also the Lasky Solar scheme.
Yes.
So everybody been made known that actually Lasky Solar 4 actually was announced and released last year. So all these projects actually need to be completed by December 2023. So for Sam Adens, actually, for under the Lasky Solar, actually we have secured quite a number of projects and enough for us to roll over until end 2023.
So yeah, I'll come to your order book in a few moments, which is quite a large number.
Yes.
But is this shift towards the region partially because you can see, look, you know, this order book replenishment is going to be a challenge for you?
Yes, and then because for us also that with our growing team that we not only wanted to eye on the domestic markets, and we know that this new market, we need a little bit time to develop, but concurrently that we have an ongoing project can let us roll over another 2 years. So that's why for us that we shall plan ahead. So we're not until we are all out the book finish, only we say, okay, I want to enter another market. While Malaysia domestic market, we still think it's very positive. But it's, and then we also want of some of the market share that we are capturing. So, and also Malaysia are very, very encouraging on the renewable energy.
So let's talk about your third largest shareholder, Chudengo. Have I got it right? Chudengo Corp?
Yes. Yep.
I did a little digging on Bloomberg. Japanese company engaged in equipment construction business. Now, it made about $56 million last year, which is not a lot by Japanese standards. Why did they take a 15% stake in Sam Adens? What is their intention? Who initiated the deal?
They came first. Because they actually is already got targets actually to wanted to invest in renewable energy companies in Malaysia. Because they also got a Malaysia office over here. And they think that work with Malaysians, they are very, very comfortable. So when they have the plan to invest in the companies in the Southeast Asia, the first choice actually is Malaysia. And they've been mandated, they wanted to invest in a green company. So that's why they have this survey from some of others public listed so-called solar companies. So they finally selected us and come to have a deep talk together with us. Subsequently, they did spend money to do a due diligence, and also in the fast decision, they decided to invest to us within a very, very short period. And actually, for me, I also very surprised that we can complete the whole exercise within a 3 months' time.
So what's the synergy? What do they hope to do? I mean, are they passive shareholders or are they looking to become very active?
Basically, for their investment in Sam Adens Group, actually, it's passive shareholders. They didn't request any board seating, so it's just purely for investment. And they trust that our prospect is there. And secondly, that besides this pure investment, so actually, we are now in the midst of discuss with them on the so-called the joint venture companies. So with the targets actually is on the PPA models in which they wanted to own solar asset at building owner side.
Okay, but here in Malaysia or regional? Because they're already shareholders of Sam Adens here, right? So these JVs, are they more for regional?
This JV actually, they were set up in Malaysia, but the targets actually, first targets actually is Malaysia factories, Japanese factories, rooftop. And subsequently, they're actually for regional. So although our so-called the SPV haven't completed set up because you wanted to JV with Japanese processing time a bit long. So, but already got some potential, not only in Malaysia, in other Southeast Asia countries. And why they like us that they more trusted on Malaysian to assess the project. They would throw some project to us, ask us to assess it, not Malaysia project, it's the countries that we are talking just now that it's some other country that mainstreaming. So that's why their target is on the regional.
So is the future of Sam Adens very, very tied to partnerships? Because you've got one with Aneka Jaring, then you've got another one with Chudengo. Are you expecting more? Is this like, is this your version of M&A?
Yes. We already trust that individual, we cannot grow. So we need partners and to grow it fast.
On the Breakfast Grill this morning is Chow Pui Hish. She is Group Managing Director of ACE-listed renewable energy player Sam Adens Group Berhad. When we come back from the break, the financials and should we buy this company, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill. brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Breakfast Grill. In the hot seat this morning is Chow Pui Hee. She's Group Managing Director of ACE-listed renewable energy player Sam Aden Group Berhad. Before the break, we were talking about their regional expansion plans, and is that driven by the saturation in the Malaysian market? Now, Pui Hee, let's bring this conversation back to the core of Sam Aden's revenue, which is the engineering, procurement, construction and commissioning, otherwise known as EPCC, of utility-scale large solar projects, which you mentioned earlier, LSS, and of course, solar photovoltaic systems, PV, for commercial and industrial clients. Now, we talked about your order book. It's currently around 400 million ringgit. But I want to know, what is your tender book? Because that's about future earnings, right?
Just a bit of corrections of 410 actually was last month. So now actually, I think the latest one actually will be at 358 million. So majority consists of rooftop projects and also large scale solar projects in terms of EPCC. And also we have two biomass projects in EPCC. So, and just now I mentioned about tender books. Actually, tender books actually now that we, so far we about have about 1 billion of tender books. So majority, besides the large scale solar, there is also a larger scale of the self-consumption scheme projects. We have biogas project EPCC, we have biomass project EC tender book.
So what is your job win track record though? So 1 billion, how much do you expect to actually win out of that 1 billion?
It highly depends on the segmentations of the so-called the projects.
Okay, but based on your historical track record, what has it been like?
30-40%.
Okay, and how do you compete? How do you win this 30-40%? Because it's very competitive with very low barriers of entry for some segments. Are you competing on pricing? Is that the way you win projects?
Not necessarily on the pricing. Actually, pricing for sure, a lot of project owners, particularly those LSS4 projects, because the projects are running very thin margin. But on top of the pricing, also customer also assess in terms of the team capability and also on whether they are saturated with too many projects on hand. Because there we will have a lot of deliverable risks because you know that LSS4 project completed by December 2023, in which there is about 800 or megawatts. And the major players, major EPCC in Malaysia actually is not so many. So if one of the so-called EPCC that we saturated so many projects, then the risk of deliverables is very high. So that's why the customer also consider on that basis. On top of that, also a point from the financial institution that giving loan to the project developer, they also will assess that aspect. Particularly on LSS4, we are not taking too greedy of the contract that we wanted to secure, take that sufficient project that for us to compete that within our mean. And if we have too many, actually will be high risk to us also. On top of that, the so-called profit margin for LSS4 project is not so high. On top of that, actually for us, we are not only depending on LSS4, we have also have some large-scale cell consumption project or rooftop projects. And also, we are doing ongoing is biomass projects.
Okay.
And as an EPCC basis.
Now, I also noticed that the arrangements with the commercial and industrial clients, which is C&I, have evolved, right? So there are three types. You've got pure EPCC, EPCC with some element of ownership and maintenance, and finally, a power purchase agreement, or otherwise known as PPA. So in other words, you become an asset owner. So how does the ROI, return on investment, for this PPA model work versus the traditional model of just being a EPCC contractor? What's the difference here?
Okay, if you're talking about the EPCC contractors, actually you only one off. If it's a contract basis, you finish the project,
you're done and dusted.
So after finish already, then actually you need to secure additional job. So that one contract, probably you can take up a profit margin. C&I part, I think roughly about 12%. And for LSS4 project now actually will be below the double digits already due to the material cost and the roll rate of LSS4 project. For the PPA models, actually that we need to invest,
yes,
and we were collecting the recurring incomes.
But that's where the risk also lies, right? Because you need the capital outlay.
Yeah.
So how do you manage that risk?
Actually, the capital outlay is with the PPA, there is a consistent returns from the so-called customer. For sure, we need to assess the financial strength of the customer. So, and also, secondly, actually, to mitigate this risk, actually, there is another program, it's called SARE, that we go through TMB as a third party to collect the money. So then we pay administration fees to TMB. Then actually, for them, they must pay TMB.
Okay. Yeah. So the ROI, we were talking about it just a minute ago. So you're saying typically for EPCC, it's a one-off. Maybe if it's not LSS4, it used to be 12%. Is this PPA arrangement, does it have higher ROIs?
For PPA models, actually, we have our internal expectations together with our partners. So for us, that we are looking at projects IRR that we have to have minimum of 10% project IRR. But some of the others, PPAs investor, actually besides this, there is a lot of PPA investor, foreign PPA investor. The expectations of the project IRR is lower. So we also will work with these people. We will work as an EPCC.
So the ROI, is it higher than 12%, 13%, 14%?
For
PPAs on average?
For sure it's higher than that.
But you know, what I have also noticed is that there has been some margin compression across the industry. I think that's really driven by the fact that solar panel prices have increased significantly, right? If you look at 2020 onwards, excuse me, polysilicon prices have risen by as much as 300%. So have you been able to pass on this cost to the customer, or are you absorbing the cost?
Okay, that is a very hot question that recently a lot of fund managers and also people asking on it. Actually, for us, actually, this price increase actually was happened is actually way back in early 2021. And when that happening, the time that actually we actually do our projections, we have a CNI market and also LSS market. For CNI markets, actually, the project duration's implementation is shorter, 3 months to 6 months time. So, and the capacity is smaller. So when capacity is smaller, that we actually based on volume. So we will do a supply chain management. So we actually, last year onwards, that actually averagely every month we are buying solar panels so that we can average our pricing. So that is to tackle the project that we secure earlier.
Okay.
So continuously, we monitor the panel price, updated panel price. When we give the pricing to customers, new customers, actually we base updated price. We are mitigating the risk on the price increase for those smaller projects. For the LSS project, the project duration is much longer. You secure it, probably you will implement it most likely 6 months or 1 year down
the road. Do these contracts have variable orders though? Variable
pricing? So that's why in this kind of contracts, usually we'll put a clause on the price variations. We will let them know what is our base cost. Because the panel price is not a secret in the markets. Project owners actually also can assess the information. So we based on our price, is based on this base cost with a certain percentage of the variation, we are subjected to variation orders. So that indirectly we pass the risk to the customer.
Do you have supply chain disruptions though? Because China is still the biggest maker of solar panels in the world, right? And of course, they've got a zero COVID policy, and then you have the occasional economy open and then closes suddenly. So do you have problems getting the solar panels that you need to fulfill your contract deadlines?
For solar panels, actually, for us, that we didn't face this problem because, that as mentioned earlier, we have the supply chain management planning in upfront, firstly. And secondly, is actually we are not relying on one manufacturers. We actually have a good relationship with those top-tier manufacturers, and then we will check with them that on the delivery time, and we know some of the locations, actually, the factories is where, then we know that, oh, this might be affected because it's near to Shanghai Port, for example. So then we affected that we would take up from other suppliers. So that is the plan that we did it for to mitigate the supply chain issues. But we were actually impacted by other materials. Besides solar panels, actually, there is other material, such as switchgear, components, electric components. That is actually some of the time that they will actually affected by the supply chain issue, and particularly those Shanghai lockdown causing long delay of the delivery. That part is actually, well, now that what we're doing is that we know what is a long lead item, we order in much earlier.
So do you think you can maintain your current EBITDA margins, which are hovering around 13% then, considering all these headwinds?
It's a bit tough. So we are trying to minimize the variance.
Mm.
So but based on this, actually, we will need to be more effort on the so-called the supply chain management and also on the value engineering in order to an effective project management on site, because all these aspects actually will be contributed to the saving of costs.
What about the competition, because it's intense. There's unlisted Shawfield. They've got revenue, 350 million. There's also Plus Energy. They've got revenue of close to, I do believe, 112 million. Your own revenue, of course, this is last year, was 33 million thereabouts.
Yeah, yeah.
So where do you see yourself in stacking up the competition? What's your goal?
My goal is always that we want to grow the company in line with our ultimate goal is sustainable developments.
Mm.
So that you're talking about the competitions, in all the industrials, for sure there is competitions.
Yes.
And for
are you hoping to be the biggest, let's say, listed player? Solarvest is at revenue 170 million.
For me, personally, not necessarily become the biggest, that is the best in the town. So we take market share is sufficient for us. And because there is also a bit difference. Just want to mention about Plus Energy, they are fully focused on solar. Solarvest also fully focused on solar.
Mm.
And for us that now, our business, our order books is consists of, we got solar, we got biomass, we got biogas. So there is already some differentiation in between the players. And all the while that since the inception of the company, established the company, my direction is not solar. But opportunity from solar came along the way. So now that 99% is coming from solar, but I've seen the establishment of Sam Adens is from the total solution for renewable energy, in which my specializations as a chemical engineer is more on others' renewable energy.
Okay. Mm. Now, the current share price hovering around 69 cents. It hit a high of 1 ringgit and 15 cents in January last year. So there are three analysts that cover the stock with the highest target price of 1 ringgit and 64 cents, while the rest are hovering around target price of 76 cents. So tell me, why should I buy Sam Adens shares then? What's so good about your company?
If you have monitors, Sam Adens, not on the shares only, you're on our results. You can see our improving on the result and delivering a lot of, as compared to last financial years, yes. So that is showing that we are expanding.
Mm-hmm.
After, we grow tremendously as compared to our before our listing. So that is also one thing that we shall looking at. And also, our expansion plan and also our visions on the sustainable developments, and also you're looking at the global needs of the sustainable energy, is there is a demand there.
On that note, thank you for your time on The Breakfast Grill this morning. Was Chow Pui Hee. She is the Group Managing Director of Sam Adens Group Berhad. I'm Wong Xiaoning, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, where unlimited potential begins.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.